Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Good to have all of you with us. Man came home from work one afternoon, found his three small children outside. They were still in their pajamas. They were playing in the mud. Some of their toys were scattered across the lawn and on the driveway. The door of his wife's car was wide open, and so was the front door of the house. He was surprised at this. He rushed inside. He was confronted with evidence of complete disarray. A lamp had been knocked over. The TV was on, and it was blaring loudly on a cartoon channel. The family room was littered with toys, and clothing was everywhere. He went into the kitchen. The sink was filled with dirty dishes. Breakfast food had been spilled on the counter. Refrigerator door was open, and dog food was scattered all over the floor. Some of this may sound normal. But he's very concerned now and fearing the worst, and he began frantically looking for his wife. He headed up the stairs, stepped over toys, stepped over more piles of clothes as he went. He was worried about her, worried she might be ill or something serious had happened to her. He rushed into their bedroom. He saw her. She was still in her pajamas. She laid there curled up on their bed, reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled and asked him how his day had been. Completely bewildered, he looked at her and asked, "What happened here today?" Again, she smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world I do all day long," he said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, today I didn't do it." This is a day that we remember mothers, and it's a national holiday in the United States. And I know that there's probably not many of us here that don't realize that unless we've been living under a rock somewhere. It's something that we're very well aware of. You can't watch TV or listen to the radio or go out in public without realizing that's what today is. It's always the second Sunday in May, and it's a day that has been chosen to honor mothers, and it's frequently celebrated by cards, or if you chose to go out to lunch today, you know, you're going to be waiting a long time unless you have a reservation, because it's probably the busiest Sunday of the year for restaurants. So presents and cards are given to mothers, and many times children that hardly ever darken the door of a church building will come and be with their mother at a religious service. So how did this all come about? And we want to talk about that this morning. What do our mothers deserve from us? And certainly not just on Mother's Day, but every day. But little history on this. In 1907, Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia started a campaign to honor mothers 2 years after her own mother had died. In 1910, West Virginia became the first state to recognize Mother's Day. And a year later, every state officially marked that day. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson officially proclaimed Mother's Day as a national holiday, the second Sunday of May. So, Anna Jarvis, who came up with this idea initially, she began to be disappointed at what it had become. She became enraged by its commercialization. I know a lot of people think Hallmark started it, but they didn't. So she filed a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day celebration in 1923, and she was subsequently arrested for disturbing the peace at a war convention where white carnations, you know, the symbol of, you know, for mothers that she had kind of come up with, she saw that they were being sold for money. And she, her complaint was that I wanted this to be a day of sentiment and not a day of profit. I think you kind of see some irony there, and you can see some of what we see today. You could say, well, I'm not going to be a part of this commercialization. But it's really kind of become expected to do these things to honor mothers. In fact, yesterday we took my mom and Jarrell's mother and grandmother out, and it's not the only time of year that we take them somewhere or do something with them. The thing is that, you know, mothers deserve honor. And, you know, if by setting a certain day aside causes people to remember and to honor their mothers, I think that's a good thing, but it's not something that should just be done once a year. It should be done all the time. And this is biblical. There's, you know, not to have one day set aside to honor mothers, but it's biblical that you should be honoring them all the time. And so we want to talk about that today. Not that, you know, not talking about flowers and cards and gifts, but the honor that mothers deserve from a biblical perspective. So what is it that mothers deserve? First of all, probably comes as no secret that the Bible has a lot to say about obedience to mother and father. Was never, you know, my favorite passage growing up to think about Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, but it seemed like it was quoted to me a lot. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is something that children should be doing. They should be obeying their mother. They should be obeying their father. And this same sentiment is repeated by Paul to the Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So that, you see the reason that we do that. You don't do it because it pleases your parents or it pleases your mother. You do it because it pleases the Lord. Certainly that obedience would be pleasing to your parents or your mother. In fact, the wisdom literature is filled with this kind of admonition about how it is that you ought to treat your parents and your mother in particular. Solomon counseled his son in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So the instruction there is to hear what both of them have to say. Hear what your father has to say. Hear what your mother has to say. And don't forsake those. So when we think about, you know, what do mothers deserve, don't think about candy. Don't think about flowers. Don't think about taking them out to eat. Although, you know, those things are not bad and they would appreciate those things. But what they would certainly appreciate, you know, throughout their life is respect and obedience, as they have your best interest at heart. And that's why Solomon counseled his son in that way. And why do we see so much instruction on this? Probably because the Lord knows is that children tend not to do these things, and they're necessary and they're needed. In fact, Jesus even obeyed his mother as he was growing up. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. It says, "And as he went down with them and came to Nazareth, he was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." What that means is that Mary, certainly above everybody else, knew who Jesus was because she knew how he had come about. And so the things that he did, she treasured up in her heart. And it specifically here talks about how he was submissive to them. And you think about somebody who you may not think needed to be submissive, because everybody needs to be submissive to Jesus, but he had this relationship with his parents, and it says at this point in his life, when he was young, he was submissive to them. And so certainly there is a lesson for us in that. We need to be obedient as children, and, you know, certainly this pertains particularly to the time that children are young, and we need to have that kind of honor and respect for our parents. So one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves when it comes to our mothers, what is it that they might like to have on Mother's Day? It is the obedience that God tells us to have toward them. Also, respect. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, once again, you know, tells us to honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And this is taken from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, where it says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." So when Ephesians talks about this is the first commandment with promise, well, that's the promise. That's the promise that's being referenced. It's found in Exodus 20, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord God is giving you. And so Solomon also in Proverbs warned about grave consequences for those that chose not to do that. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, if one curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. The Chinese proverb says, respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. And so it seems that in our society today, many have lost this idea that children should be respectful to their parents, or it's not really being practiced. In fact, when we go to the store, you go shopping or something, you might see children that are very disobedient and rebellious, and sometimes the parents are allowing that to happen. They're not applying any discipline. That's certainly another lesson that we could discuss later. But the fact that children are not being obedient and they are not being respectful seems to be more of the way things are. It's not the exception anymore. It's more the rule. And Beth and others who teach school can certainly attest to that, because they can tell who it is that is being brought up in a godly home and these kind of principles are being instilled, and where parents are demanding that their children obey and respect them, and that the children do that, and you can see the others that are the exact opposite. So really, you could call it common decency demands that we respect our parents. Just this morning, usually in the morning I turn on Fox News, and then if Ethan gets up, he turns on ESPN. He changes it to, and that's what he did this morning. What they were doing on ESPN is that they set up some athletes to talk about their mothers, and so they probably had about six different athletes that all were told, "I want you to write a tribute to your mom, and we're going to film that." And so the things that they were saying were very sweet and honorable, and what had happened there was that the mothers were actually in the other room, hearing what the athletes were saying. And so, the mothers were tearing up as they listened to what the athletes were saying. And, it was set up to be one of those things that's going to make you cry. A lot of times these kind of things are set up to be emotional, and that's the way I felt this was. The mother is in the room, and the son is talking, or the daughter talking about how wonderful their mother is, and in walks the mother, and of course they embrace and they cry and hug and talk to each other. So it was, the things that were said were very moving, but the cynic in me wondered if them being told, "We want you to say some things about your mother," if the things that they were saying, were really what they would have done on their own, or if because they were prompted to do it, did it, were they doing it for show? I tend to think that they were very honest in what they were saying because of the things that they were saying and the emotional response that they showed in writing those things and being united. And so this comes down to this principle of respect. And if they replay that today, it may be something that they're replaying all day, so you might be able to watch it yourself. But, that should be common. That should be something that we see all the time, that relationship between a mother and a son or daughter. Why? Because, nobody is ever going to love you like your mother. And the things that parents do, and mothers in particular, the great sacrifices that they make, deserve honor. They deserve respect. And so when it comes to this time of year, as a preacher, you always struggle with, well, should I, speak on something that is reflective of a secular holiday, or, should I just do something else? But when it comes to honoring mothers, I don't think that it's something that can be given enough attention, that parents need to be given honor and respect, by their children. And if everybody was always doing that, maybe it wouldn't need to be talked about so much. But it's many times a thankless job, being a parent, and it shouldn't be thankless. Also, we need to give our mothers affection. We need to give our mothers affection. Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and you remember Elisha took over for Elijah. And it says here in verse 20 that Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And that was always touching to me as he is going to go and be the prophet that is, taking up the job after Elijah. But he wants to go and tell his family goodbye. He wants to go hug and kiss his mother and father. He demonstrates that proper affection that's due to their parents. As I was reading, preparing for this lesson, you see all kinds of illustrations when it comes to this subject. And one illustration that I read was this mother in a nursing home that so infrequently heard from her children. She stopped eating, and when she stopped eating, somebody was asking her, why have you stopped eating? And she said, because if one of my children calls, I don't want to have my mouth full. And I thought that if that's a preacher story, it's designed to make people cry. But if that's a true story, and I don't want to say that preachers always lie, but you know what I mean by a preacher story. Sometimes you read an illustration and think that was tailor-made for a sermon, and I can't believe that it really happened. And that's one that I read and I think, I really wish that didn't happen. That somebody would have a lack of a relationship with their family, to the point that they were just sitting there waiting for that phone to ring so that they could hear from one of their kids. And I'm afraid that's probably does happen sometimes. In fact, when my father was preaching in Dothan, he would go visit people in nursing homes and in hospitals. And a lot of times he didn't know the people. He would just look up in the record to see who had identified themselves as a member of the church and go see those people and introduce them. And he one time found a woman there that they got to talking, and he realized through their conversation that she had family at the church in Dothan. And she related to him that she hadn't seen any of them in over 8 months. And they lived in the same city. And, of course, my father made that known to the people there. Hey, you have family here that you're not at least going and paying a visit from. That's a shameful thing to not pay any more attention to your family. That is what we would call a lack of natural affection. And one of the attributes of love is to have natural affection. A mother should have affection for the child. The child should have natural affection for the mother. Family should have that affection for one another. And that's something that we need to give our mothers and fathers. It doesn't take much to say that I love you. It doesn't have to be a gift. It doesn't have to be a card. But the way that we interact with each other as husbands and wives and children and parents, certainly we need to be showing affection, and not just whenever Hallmark tells us, hey, it's time again for you to tell your mom that you love her. And it used to be, people can call anybody at any time now without, paying long distance. But those of us that are old enough to remember long distance and what that was, that the busiest time of of the year was between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sunday, Mother's Day. That's when the majority of the bulk of long-distance calls were made, when long-distance was a thing. And those of you that talk on your cell phones to your girlfriends and boyfriends all the time for hours upon end don't realize how lucky you are that you can actually do that without paying so much money. Jarell and I were so in love, we racked up very high bills when she was away in school, because I was usually the one that wouldn't hang up. And it cost a lot of money back then to talk. But that's what people did when they had affection for one another. And we need to show proper affection to our parents and our mothers in particular. Also, one thing that is very helpful and appreciated by a mother is if their children show wisdom. A lack of wisdom certainly can be a burden on a mother. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says that a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Have you ever seen that in real life, where a mother is grieved because of the foolish decisions of a son or daughter? Well, we've all seen that, and maybe we have been the one that's been foolish and caused grief to our parents. And just this morning, my brother posted a note on my mom's Facebook page that said, "I'm sorry for all the things that I did to make your life miserable when I was growing up, but you don't know 50% of it." And so, you know, took that and made a joke out of it. But I think sometimes we don't really realize till later in life, when we have children of our own, you know, the kind of grief that some of the decisions that we could make could have upon our parents. And that's what Solomon is saying. It's very, very true. And really, I think it's something that only those that have children can understand. But a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. That's a great burden to carry. Jesus, of course, was an example of one that always exercised wisdom and was a great blessing to his mother. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And, of course, Jesus was a unique case where he made decisions that were always right, and he was a blessing to his God, and he was a blessing to his fellow man, and specifically to his parents. Mothers, in particular, you know, worry quite a bit about their children. And sometimes children think that mothers worry too much. They're worried about what kind of socks they have on, whether or not they're wearing socks, and what they're wearing when they go outside. What's the weather going to be like? Is it going to be cold? Do you need a jacket? Do you need a sweater? What time are you going to be back? Who are you going to be with? And so there's all sorts of numbers of things that parents and mothers in particular worry about. But when we talk about the wisdom that Solomon is talking about here, don't be a grief to your mother. You think about the things that a mother worries about, which you may seem or which you may think are unnecessary. Just little things, because they're going to worry regardless of how well behaved you are. But then you put on top of that the things that would really cause them grief. If you're going down the wrong path, if you're not behaving the way that you ought to be, if you get involved in immorality, if you're off at all hours of the night, they have no idea where you are. So what I'm saying here is mothers are going to worry anyway, and don't give them reasons to have more grief. Don't give them more unnecessary grief. Much wisdom also can come from the advice that parents and mothers can give us. So do we exercise wisdom in our life? As Solomon said, don't be the foolish son that grieves his mother and father, but be the one that will honor them and make the parents not have to worry. And that also comes to the next point of righteousness. The righteous bring joy and gladness to their parents. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24, it says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." You know, one of the things that some of you may not think about so much, but I know some of you do, is when you look up at the duty list or who's helping with the Lord's Supper. You know, when it's Rex and all of his kids that are up here, or it's me and it's my two boys that are up here. You know, it does not certainly go unnoticed by the parents. That it doesn't mean that everything that they're doing in their life is right, but when we see that they are here and they are present and they are participating in the worship, when they're praying, when they're singing, when they're giving invitations and talks, and we see that they are maturing spiritually, you know, there's some of us here that have been here a while, and I'm particularly thinking about, you know, Rex and I right now, because our kids were little when we came to Elliottsville, and we have seen each one of them become Christians in this building or elsewhere, but during that same period of time. So they are maturing spiritually. You know, what do you think that does for a mother and father that sees that? Proverbs says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice." And that's what we see. And it says, "He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let you who bore you rejoice." You know what that's saying, kids, is that you have the ability to make your parents miserable, or you can make your parents happy. And hopefully you're not thinking, okay, well, now I've learned how to make them miserable now, so I'm going to do that. But you have that ability. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. You know, the mother that is remote from her children, and the only time that she hears from them is this cursory contact on Mother's Day that, well, you know, here the media is telling me I've got to contact you today, or I've got to send you Sherry's berries or something in the mail. So it's is that really making a mom happy to get chocolate covered strawberries in the mail, or to get flowers when maybe the rest of the year they hear nothing from their children? No. Yeah, it's nice to pay some attention, but that kind of attention should be done all the time. So righteousness is something that is going to make a mother more proud than anything, is to have a righteous son and daughter. And true righteousness comes, obviously, through faithfully following Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction." So this righteousness that we put on, that is done by faithfully following Jesus. So how is it that affects our parents, our mothers? Do we give them the ability to rejoice in the way that we live for righteousness? Another thing that we need to give to mothers is care. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, there are several things that are mentioned here that we should look at. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, to make some return for their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But Paul's dealing with a couple of different things here. He's dealing with the responsibilities that the church has toward the elderly. But you see what he's saying first is that the primary responsibility to take care of the family is upon the family. Before it becomes a burden to the church, it should be taken care of by the family. So in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let not the church be burdened, so it may care for those who are truly widows. So parents, especially widowed mothers, pointed out here in 1 Timothy 5, deserve our care. You know, we are to help them as we can. James chapter 1, verse 27 says that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. So what happens, and I did a lesson a while back called We Take Turns, and it's one that my father had preached a long time ago. And the idea behind that lesson is that when you are a child, your parents take care of you and the responsibilities that parents have toward their children. But, you know, as you grow older, we see that things change. That the children begin taking care of the parents when they need it. So we do take turns, and that's God's way. And so we deserve to give them care. You know, maybe they do require professional and medical care. And certainly, I hope David doesn't mind me mentioning this, but David Oglesby continued during difficult times to care for his wife Sherry. And he could have chosen not to do that. He could have chosen to have, you know, somebody professional do that in a professional facility. But he continued to do that, and that wasn't his mother, that was his wife. But the same principle applies here, that we have when we have the ability to do so, this care is something that Paul is telling Timothy, this is what the family ought to be doing. And the example that I gave earlier when my father came across this person that was in the nursing home, not only was she not being cared for by her family, she wasn't even being talked to or being contacted. So it was not good. So we need to show care for our families. Over the years, I've sometimes put these little cartoons in the bulletin, and maybe you remember the one where there's a family that's going off in a car to drop grandma off at the to take grandma to the nursing home, and the little boy asks, "Is this the same place that I'm going to put you when you get old?" And then you see the car going back in the other direction, and they're all still in the car, you know. And so, you know, when it came time for them to think about, you know, is this what they're going to do to me? Then they decided, no, we don't want what we're about to do to her being done to us when we get old. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that one of the ways that we honor our parents, it becomes more difficult, it becomes more costly as we grow older and they grow older. Are we going to give them the kind of care? We obey them when we're little, and we gain from their wisdom, and hopefully we live in such a way that we're not a burden to them emotionally. And then when they are older, we continue to show care and love and concern for them in the way that we take care of their physical needs. So I hope you all get to have a nice meal today, and maybe you get some flowers or a gift, all of you that are mothers. But I hope you're receiving more than that. I hope that you're receiving honor and obedience and respect, and have the blessing of having those in your family that show great wisdom and righteousness and care for you. And those of us that are children and sons and daughters, we need to make sure that the things that we are doing, you know, for our mothers and our fathers are consistent and not just because we have been manipulated by some corporate holiday to do things at a certain time, but to show our love and our honor to and obedience to God's will on this matter. It's God's will that we honor our family. It's God's will that we honor our father and mother. So let's not forget that. If today you are interested in becoming part of the family of God, perhaps you have not done what it is that you need to do to become part of that ultimate family and be a child of God, it's no better time than the present. We'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Disciple ever be.